Welcome to the Proclaim Podcast, where we sit down with missionary disciples and talk all things around sharing Jesus with others.
Welcome once again to the Proclaim Podcast. This is Eric, Director of Proclaim, and I'm sitting across from Emmy Namoro. Emmy is someone who has been on the podcast before. She has worked at the Archdiocese of Vancouver. She's worked in Proclaim. If you've seen some of the sporadic digital posts from our Proclaim Instagram, Facebook channels, it's Emmy.
Hello.
Emmy, we are going to have a conversation around a topic that you've been thinking a lot about. Mm-hmm. And I think in an area that you've spent a lot of time in engaging. Mm. And earlier, before we turned the mics on, I was saying that, like, I'm going to come at this topic from a posture of curiosity because I am not as engaged in this mission field in such a way that you are. And so I'm going to ask a lot of questions and we're just going to have a conversation. So the topic of the day, or the topic of this episode, is digital evangelization.
Right.
Yeah. So just before we got onto podcast, I pulled up a couple of statistics, which I thought was both insightful and a little bit sobering. Here in Canada, and I think in North America, we have found that of those who are between the ages of 15 and 23, on average, so on average, which means there are people that are above this average and below this average, on average, those who are between the ages of 15 and 23 spend about 2,800 hours online, on screens per year, which, if you did the rough math, puts it at about 7 hours a day.
Right.
Close to half of your waking hours are spent in front of a screen. That's on average. So you've got some the folks that are above it and below it. But on of those 7 hours, or let's say of those 2,800 hours spent on screens per year, of those who are, I guess, you know, part of a Christian background or habitual churchgoers, or have some involvement within a Christian community, those 15 to 23-year-olds would spend something like upwards of 300 hours per year putting in, or I guess consuming, spiritual content. And then if you were to expand that out to the entire demographic, our 15 to 23-year-olds are also spending somewhere between 150 and then up to 300 hours of spiritual content, which means, again, if we were to break that down daily, there is a possibility of that demographic consuming upwards of about an hour a day of spiritual content. Now, if I were to ask you, do you, what kind of spiritual practices you take? Do you spend about an hour a day in prayer, or an hour a day in, like, taking on, you know, various spiritual exercises? If you were to say yes to that, I'd say, wow, like, that's, you know, that's pretty, it's quite aspirational and something to be admired, and something that I think, you know, as missionary disciples, we would all want to aspire to. So, with all that said, I'm going to turn the mic over to you.
Hello.
And let's just open up digital evangelization. What do you mean by digital evangelization? You know, what does it mean to be a digital missionary? A term that you've used with me in conversation before. And and then we'll go from there.
Sure. I guess part of me feels like I need to prove my credibility a little bit. I talked to Eric about this right before we started, just because I am a 26-year-old gal who just manages social media for the church, at least here in Vancouver. And honestly, I'm not an expert here. Like, I won't say it's like a huge disclaimer. I'm not. But it's something that I've been wrestling on and thinking about, because I just really think that social media, for example, as one of the tools, is just so unutilized. Like, it feels like an underused platform, and it bothers me so much. So just a little bit about me, and then I'll start. My first encounter in digital evangelization was when I was 16. I was asked to be part of this communications program for the youth ministry I was part of, CFC Youth at the time. And then that was my first kind of exposure to kind of seeing how a simple post on Instagram can lead people to Christ. Like, even just telling people of an event can help them encounter him in a way they probably wouldn't have if they didn't see that. And then since then, I was hooked. From there, I started managing youth ministry accounts, my own podcast, leading me to working to, like, with Catholic organizations like Divine Renovation in the East and then Proclaim here. And then now I work as our social media coordinator for the Archdiocese of Vancouver. So it's been a whirlwind. Like that was 10 years of just experience of kind of seeing the different platforms and how they work and how they can be used. And I guess when it comes to digital evangelization, what that means for me, at least my own definition, is spreading the gospel online in whatever way that you are called to. That can look like podcasting, that can look like writing, that can look like your art. I think what's so beautiful about having that kind of platform is that anyone can really choose to, if they'd like, to share their experience of what it's like to have a relationship with Christ and just to put it out there and see if anyone would resonate. Because you never really know. Like, that's kind of the beauty of it. Like, it can be anything. Like, it excites me so much because that diversity, that variety of people just showing up authentically just brings forth so much, excitement, because anyone can do it. And that's the thing. Like, I think something that I learned when I worked in Proclaim and just learning a little bit more about how I can show up authentically is that you don't necessarily need to be an expert. If you show up authentically, if you share honestly, that can resonate with people that you may not even know, and that can change their life. And yeah, like, I don't know, it just speaks to me so much, because I think that's maybe one of the reasons why people don't choose to, because they're not good enough. Whatever they put up may not be as polished as they think it should be, kind of thing. So I don't know, it speaks to me, Eric. I don't know.
I mean, when you worked with me, we talked a lot about Proclaim values, right?
We
would invite our missionary disciples to live out of a spirit-led boldness.
Right.
We would build relational trust with the people around us, especially in our proximate periphery, those close to us but far from Jesus. Mm-hmm. We would live out of an irresistible faith. We would create a culture of invitation, and we would proclaim the gospel clearly and simply. And certainly, I think a lot of these principles, when we think about it, at first pass, could be more in the like relational in-person space, but I think all these values can also have direction for our interaction in digital spaces.
Right.
Yeah. So what would it look like for someone who's thinking about engaging in the digital space to see the digital mission in front of them? Mm-hmm. Like, how would they engage? Is it to just start to post scripture verses on their Instagram account with a nice fun picture in the background?
Sure.
Or is it an invitation to come to them to an alpha? Or is it like more than that? Does it require someone to start living in those digital spaces with a silent witness or a witness of their life?
Right.
And an authentic life, I would assume, not just kind of like my best life on Insta and and then everything else that like the messiness of my life is kind of hidden away. Like, how does someone try to think about and approach spending more time online?
Okay. I think first and foremost, remember that whatever you do, the glory shouldn't go to you, but to God. So how I would recommend someone who's interested in entering in the digital space is to, one, make sure that you have a relationship with Christ first. I just feel like it's a great foundation to have, just so you know, like, where you're coming from. And two, let's see. Choose something that you're interested in. And then go from there. Like, I think what's so beautiful about our Catholic faith is that there are so many different aspects of it. And if you choose something that you're passionate about, that can help you start. Because I think something else that I noticed is that it can really be anything. If you're interested in art, if you're interested in like modesty or veiling or reading Catholic books and telling people all about them, like, you can really start anywhere. But remember that at the end of the day, it shouldn't be about you. Like, the main quote unquote influencer should really be God. And then you are, in this case, like, his tool to reach people. And like, this is gonna go against everything I know in like marketing and branding and stuff, but don't even worry about branding. Because even something that I found when I started my journey, I guess, in my quote-unquote digital missionary life, I just started writing. I started sharing about my experiences and encountering God, because I just had so much to talk about, but I had no one to talk to. So I just felt like, what if I share it here? I wasn't looking for anything. I just wanted to share it because I hope that maybe if I lived an authentic life, maybe it may ignite something in others to do the same. Mm-hmm. Like, it was never about me, but it was like, I just wanted to take part in that work for the kingdom. Like, it didn't even have to be anything big. It doesn't have to be a big production. It can start small. It doesn't have to be as crazy. Because I think, again, that's what would deter people. You can start, like, you can be a beginner. You don't need to be perfect.
Yeah.
Just start.
Okay.
Just start.
Yeah. Engaging in the digital space also mm-hmm. means that there's a lot of different mediums that we can engage in. Because you mentioned, like, you started writing. Mm-hmm. And so some of our listeners might have come onto this mm-hmm. podcast and have thought, okay, they're going to, you know, talk about Instagram and Snapchat and TikTok and that's it. But what you're saying is, like, there's a lot of different mediums.
Yeah.
Like, there are people who blog and write posts, and there's different places where you can share. I met someone who wanted to start writing.
Oh.
And they put out a blog, and they asked if I would read their blog just to see if, and they wanted to share a little bit of, like, their faith journey and like how they were welcomed into the church, et cetera, et cetera. And of course, parts of their personal life. And so writing anonymously, you know, they wanted to know what I thought and if they thought it would be a worthy, I guess, venture into just sharing parts of their life in the hopes that someone might pick it up and coming from a very similar background and life experience would benefit from hearing someone else's story. And so, you know, I read the blog and, you know, I guess the only thing I could offer would be to say, this really truly sounds like you.
Okay.
And that the story that you're sharing, I'm sure, could be a benefit to someone else. Mm-hmm. And so if that's the case and you wanted to give glory to God and you wanted to offer your journey of faith, then by all means, go ahead.
Yeah.
But they were more concerned about whether they were writing, I guess, with the voice of the church or like, is this okay as a Catholic to write this way?
Oh, no.
And so like part of the, like, I think part of what they wanted to know was,
you know,
am I leading people astray? Am I saying things that are like heretical?
Mm.
Right? Certainly, like, it'd be good to just try to get some advice there. But at the same time, we would want people to be authentic.
No, fair.
Within their, like, their digital medium.
Yeah. Like, of course, don't be heretical. Like, I mean.
Yeah.
No, honestly, I've seen that before, too. Like, people talk about, like, they're not too sure. Like, I think, again, that would be something that would deter people. Because they're like, well, if I'm talking from, like, a faith perspective, what if I do it wrong? And you know what? Maybe you will. Mm-hmm. And that's okay. We have so many resources in the Catholic Church and people that you can talk to that will hopefully help you in that knowledge. And I think that even adds more so in the authenticity of it all. Mm-hmm. Because, again, you don't have to know everything. I mean, it'll be good too, but everyone starts from somewhere.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay. I didn't prompt you with this. So I'm going to try this. This is a bit of an exercise.
Do
okay.
It.
So,
yeah.
I would be someone that would come onto this podcast and I'd be listening. And as you know, I'm not very engaged in the digital space.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm listening to this and I'm thinking, like, how can I begin to engage in in digital media and be a digital evangelist?
Okay.
And what advice would you give to me?
Okay. Yeah.
Because you know me,
and
you know, like, what I do and why I do it, and you also know, like, my affinity and, like, engagement within digital media.
Yep.
So what kinds of advice would you give to me?
Start with what you're interested in.
Okay.
And see who's doing that.
Okay.
And then go from there. Like, for you, for example, in the nature of your work, a lot of evangelization would proclaim you are a big person with leadership. I would start with looking for those keywords and then this seems so silly, but like adding Catholic and then seeing who pops up and then seeing which content resonates with you. Again, because there's so much diversity within the church, I think like that's one way you can start.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's kind of its own journey in itself too.
So if I were to look for content that resonates with me, then what would I do with that content? Is it more of like learning from them to see how I would engage in those communities? Or is it more for me to like share that content with others? Or like how would, what would I do with that?
Well, this is a funny question because I feel like it's such a personal part of your journey too, because it's kind of like,
well, let's get personal.
No, for sure.
Like, you can ask me, like, help me.
Okay. Because like, for example, you encounter a podcast that resonates with you and it has different concepts that you feel like other people may, one, resonate with, two, learn from, and three, be able to, again, because Catholic, see God in that. Different ways that you could share, and I guess taking part within the evangelization space is, to share it, talk to other people about what you've learned, and then, it's so funny because I've never really thought about it that way before too, because coming from my end of my nature of my work, I focus so much on content. I don't really think about what people do with it afterwards, because at that point, personally for me, I leave it up to God, because whatever people do with my content, or at least the content that I create for God, is up to them and whatever the relationship is with the Lord. But I think that's the beauty of it too. Like, you have freedom to do what you want to do, whether that content stays with you or whether it doesn't. Maybe, I don't know. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? Like,
a little bit.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think about how I would engage within a parish community and the people that I would naturally gravitate to. So I would naturally gravitate to men.
Fair.
Fathers.
Yes.
With kids that are about the same age as my kids. So stage of life and vocation, I think those are things that just are natural places where I would gravitate to. And so I would probably also gravitate to those kinds of personas and individuals online. And I might also look for people who I would look up to.
Yes.
They could be digital mentors, or they could be people that are setting an example of a life that I would want to emulate and to learn from. Now, but for me personally, like, what am I supposed to quote unquote do online? Like, am I supposed to like take pictures of like the food I'm eating, or like, okay, we're on a vacation, let's take a picture of like best vacation ever, or like, that's where I'm a little bit at a loss, because it's like, I'm not naturally disposed to want to share a lot of those kinds of parts of my life. Not to say that I won't.
It's just not a natural thing.
I'm an introvert by nature. And so I'll usually just kind of, you know, not really think about expressing outwardly the things that are going on around me.
We've talked about this a lot before. This is going to be really weird for me to say, and I hope it doesn't cause any sense of like, I don't want to offend anybody, but part of me feels like not everyone is meant to. And maybe that's okay. Because I think because we all have our own charisms and our gifts and what we resonate with the most, maybe we're not meant to. Because the thing is also like, if everybody is sharing, who's consuming it? Who's looking at it? Honestly, even what I can think of right away is like, even a simple way of starting is to just share about your life and see what comes from there. And if you don't feel called to, no one is forcing you to, because this is just one of the tools that you can do so. If you are a better person, like interacting with people offline, that's great. You need missionaries on all fronts.
I think something that you said to me earlier makes a lot of sense here as well, in that you have a sense that as a Catholic community, or even say Catholics here in Vancouver and abroad, we're not spending enough time in the digital space. And so you're probably appealing to a few people that may have a charism to be digital missionaries. And what you're saying is, I may not have that charism. Maybe I might not have a charism somewhere else. And just to kind of pull back a little bit on that, sure. Charisms are gifts of the Holy Spirit mm-hmm. meant for the service of others. And so I might have a charism of teaching, mm-hmm. But I might not have a charism that would draw me into mm-hmm. Digital communities and yep. and all that. But right. some people might.
Yes.
They might be good on podcasts. They might right. be great writers. They might be able to share a quick posts mm-hmm. that could be a gift to others mm-hmm. that could lead them closer to God.
Right.
So I think you're appealing to mm-hmm. some of the audience.
It's so that, niche, man.
Yeah. But I think you're appealing to some of our audience that mm-hmm. may not really know that like that there is a need mm-hmm. in the digital space to proclaim Jesus. And they might want to explore
sure.
a possibility there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they're welcome to. Like I... so funny. I felt so funny just saying that. But like, you are right in a sense. I do feel like it's a very maybe small population. Because mm-hmm. like, even just in our conversation, I think because I was just so used, like the term that you were using earlier, like I am a digital native. I've spent a lot of my time online. I'm very used to it. I forget that not everybody is like that. And I guess it would be the same for people who find it so much more easier to just talk to people like mm-hmm. offline and mm-hmm. just have these relational like trust and all these things. Yeah, it's opening my eyes too, which is kind of nice. I don't know, Eric.
Here's the thing. I think like if we've got people who are mm-hmm. asking questions.
Sure.
And they are asking questions about life, mm-hmm. about purpose, about meaning, about right. who might God be for mm-hmm. them. And they're asking them online,
yep.
then I think we would have, it should compel us to want to have a presence mm-hmm. online to meet them there.
Yes.
And so if we don't have that presence, then they're going to find their answers somewhere like from yes. someone else.
Yes.
And that could be a challenge yes. when we know online you can find anything.
Anything. And it's scary out yeah. there.
Or they yeah. could find the answers mm-hmm. that they're looking for. But what it doesn't do is point them to a community of believers that they've established relationships with mm-hmm. and where they can continue to grow in right. spiritual life. Mm. We're not meant to be Christians on our own. Like yeah. Christians are meant to be living in community. Mm-hmm. And so if a parish or our online presence here in Vancouver mm-hmm. Spends time engaging in the wider community to answer questions of those who are locally here in Vancouver, mm-hmm. and then we can make an extension or an invitation to be part of a community, and that community knows that there are those who are asking questions online, then we bridge a bit of a like mm-hmm. that digital like to in-person relational gap that right. we're seeing. Part of, I think, what you mm-hmm. get to work on with the communications team is the work that we're doing with Behold Vancouver.
Yes.
And
yes.
I think that's something that's been brought forward to help with, you know, starting that digital relationship yeah. and then moving into mm-hmm. real in-person relationships within our communities.
Yeah. yeah. Something really beautiful that we're doing here in Archdiocese of Vancouver mm-hmm. is Behold. Honestly, I didn't really know a lot about it until I started working here,
yep.
which was kind of sad, to be completely honest, but I think it's also part of my job to make it known. Behold is meant to be a community for the Catholics here in Vancouver, and it's so cool. Mm-hmm. It's so cool, and we have so many resources there that touch on different stages of life.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're away from the church, or if you're learning about the church, or you're like your season within your faith, like there's resources there for you. And yeah. And I think that's also like something that boggles my mind sometimes, is that like people don't know where to look.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's where, again, the digital evangelization comes from. Like, well, that will help.
Mm.
Kind of leading other people somewhere, like leading them closer to God in that way. And it's actually something that I struggled with personally, like with this. It's just because there's so many different avenues for where people can find information. Like, how can the church make like these resources that we have attractive and for them to actually want to click it? There's so many like clickbaity things online
right.
that will just capture other people's attention. And for sometimes it feels like you're fighting for views.
Yeah.
You're fighting for a sense of like, just for people to click your article kind of thing. But the thing is like, it shouldn't be about that. Like one of my philosophies is that when it comes to digital evangelization, be intentional. Don't just post things just because you know it's going to get you likes. Like, what's the point of that? If it's not leading anyone to Jesus, what's the point? And even, I don't want to speak from the church, but at least from my perspective and what I've done so far, that's hard sometimes. Because what if you're sharing a message, but it's not reaching the people? But then how do you, how do you package it in a way that will allow people to come to you?
Mm-hmm.
And that's like one of the things that I've wrestled with a lot. But I think one of the biggest things that I learned working in social media for the last few years is that people really gravitate towards stories.
Yeah.
They like seeing how other people live their life and different ways that their lives have been touched and changed. I think I veered off a lot from our original question, but I really do mean that. Like a lot of the posts that we have from Arch Vancouver that did really well were always like personal stories.
Stories.
It's always stories. And I think it speaks so much of where people's hearts are right now.
Mm-hmm.
They're looking, I think even especially after the pandemic, like people are looking for like connection,
mm-hmm.
community, and having a sense of belonging. And if they can find that there, I hope we can stem and like foster deeper.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because I think even in like the like social media, there's also a tendency for people to kind of just see all these like Catholic content and just stop there. And it bothers me because it shouldn't. It should be a stepping stone. Like if the time that you spend online takes you away from Christ, nip it, take it away. It's not meant to do that. Like it's supposed to lead you closer to Him. And whatever that may look like for you, like, I just hope that that's something that you remember.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Instagram is not your Bible. It's not meant to be. But it's a tool to help you get closer.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's great. I think we'll land our conversation there with an invitation to our listeners to head over to beholdvancouver.org to hear and read some wonderful stories that can be inspiring, uplifting, mm-hmm. but also some content that can also help you in your spiritual journey,
mm-hmm.
and to just spend some time online and have a look and see what kinds of content are available to you, perhaps mm-hmm. could spark in you a missional journey mm-hmm. that could invite you to be more of a digital missionary like Emmy, like others in our archdiocese mm-hmm. and across Canada and around the world. We mm-hmm. need digital missionaries to be authentic, true witnesses and to proclaim the gospel to those who are going online
mm-hmm.
and are asking the hard questions.
Yeah.
So thank you very much for listening to the Proclaim podcast. And if you liked this episode, consider sharing it with a friend, your pastor, someone in ministry. You can also subscribe or get updated when we post new episodes. And finally, if you're interested in Proclaim's training and resources, you can head over to weareproclaim.com. Emmy, thanks so much for joining us. And to our listeners, we hope you were blessed by this, and we'll see you next episode.